The room is lit by an muted orange glow of afternoon sunlight and a malfunctioning light bar in the ceiling. The simple tables are aligned in a U-shape where the evidence from the investigation are laid out. There's a rucksack, the contents of it, pink sunglasses, an orange window car breaker, 3 flattened PVC bottles, a medical IV kit, plastic hose, cardboard cutter, 4 baggies of what looks like some kind of recreational drug, and the bottle of contact lens fluid, now in Gabriel's hand, grasped like it was a pint of lager, and that single drop slipping into her mouth. If one would be close to her face, staring into her eyes, one would see her pupils dilating, her slight gasp escaping from the upper parts of her lungs. And there she stands, like a deer in the headlights.
What are you doing?
Nothing. It's nothing.
I look at her. I mean, I'm sort of used to her sort of unorthodox techniques. She doesn't go by the book, but she gets things done her way. So I'm not about to start questioning her in the middle of this, even though she's been acting somewhat strangely and agitated during the day.
Yes. And right now, she's lying to your face. That well you know her.
It is quite obvious. So, yes. I put down the plastic bottles, and I look at you.
I hold the bottle, like, next to my heart, and then I very slowly start walking backwards, backing away from you.
What are you doing? What's wrong?
Nothing. I just... And then I turn around and run outside the room.
Gabrielle, hey! And I let out an exasperated sigh, and I just... What is she doing?
Yeah, she's out the door. The door slams. And right at that moment, as you start out and see her heading down the hallway, your phone rings. It's Anna Ketewara.
Oh, damn it. And I see her go off, and I pick up the phone and say, yes, Paul?
I got a lead to where Isa is going. I pulled some contacts out of the motor pool, and it seems like he's heading north towards Mayfair, but there's a massive traffic jam right now on Edgware Road, so you can probably catch him if you use the side roads. He's right now on 42 Edgware Road.
Have you been able to come through to him on his phone?
No, he's not picking up.
What do you think he's going? Does he live that way?
No, not at all. He lives south.
I'll just click the phone and I... Is Ellis there? Can I see her, or did she just disappear down
the... Can she see her back exiting out into the hallway where the stairs lead down to the office level?
I'm looking for a bathroom.
Yeah, there is one there out in the hallway. There's a bathroom.
I'll go in there and take one of the stalls, and I lock the door, and then I drink the whole bottle.
And I go after, and I see she's entered the bathroom, and I just knock on the door outside, and I say, Ellis, we've...
Get out!
You see yourself in the scratched mirror. The toilet itself, metal, scratched as well. But all you can see is your eyes. They're so black, so dark, and so hungry. You spill a little bit. It's so slow. It's so slow drinking from the small hole in the lens fluid bottle. You can only get a little taste at a time. But you can almost feel the remaining ache from your wounds starting to slowly slip away. If it's your imagination or something that is actually happening is hard to tell. But this shit has a kick.
Oh, fuck it. I just rip off the lid so I can drink it faster. I don't care what it is. I just want to drink it.
You gulp it down. It's cold, thick, the moisture of it is somehow more intense than anything you've ever drunk, and somehow it's burning sensation better than any scotch.
Fuck me. Oh my god.
It smells. It tastes. It's the wild taste of going too far. It's the reckless abandon of that last drink you should never have had. You feel strangely clear and strangely strong, strangely present. And you're somehow aware of your colleague outside of the stalls. He's there. Has he seen you? Has he heard you? You were gone there for a second. Did he make any sounds?
I throw the bottle away and I go out to him. And I say, "Who? What's up?"
We got Isaac Khan. I just look at her strangely, but I don't have time to waste now. We got Isaac. He is on his way towards Mayfair, but there's a traffic jam, so we might be able to catch up with him. Are you coming or what?
I'm coming. Good work, Paul. The smile is a little bit too broad. Something is weird. I feel good. I feel good about this. Yes. Yeah, let's go.
Where's the bottle? What was in it? What did you do?
What bottle? Oh, the bottle! It was nothing. It was just lens fluid.
You can't... You know you're going to have to put that back to the evidence table.
I broke it. It wasn't my intention.
Oh, damn it. Come on, Ellis. Just shape up. Let's go. And I start going out.
And I laugh. Because it feels so wonderful. It feels so wonderful. Everything is so clear. Like knife sharp.
Oh, guess a grip, Ellis. And I just start going down the stairs to try and get to this parking as soon as possible to just start heading away.
Then I follow you.
The way down to the parking garage where your work cars, where the motor pool for your different covered vehicles, mostly Toyotas and Hondas and other anonymous vehicles. The way down there passes through the same level as the autopsy room. So you just see the half-open door to the autopsy room where your colleague is working.
Yes, and how has he been doing?
It's half an hour into the autopsy when things take a turn for the strange. Blood group testing is fast. Just take a little bit, put it in one of the containers, it spins, centrifuges. And one of the standardized series of litmus paper-like devices encased in plastic dropped into the bottle. And the first bottle turns to an AB negative. The second to an O. Two blood types, one body. The wounds are concurrent with massive bashing damage, with bones are broken, fragments of the skull have been pushed inwards. It's too early to establish an absolute cause of death, but the massive trauma has killed this woman. But why? Why two different blood types?
Well, I'm looking over the corpse and looking a little confused. This is, after all, very unusual. Is it even possible? I'm starting to think back to some obscure medical journals I may have read. Like, could this be the result of a transfusion? But surely then blood doesn't remain separate in the body.
You are absolutely right. This does not make perfect sense. Of course, tests are always not 100%, and it could be that something Yeah, that some other blood has entered the test, but thought you took it from one from the wounds in her neck and the other from a wound in her thigh.
Well, I'm going to need to test this again, and I would be in the process of repeating the test when Paul comes in.
I look in and I say, Khan has left the premises, but we're going to try and track him down. He's probably stuck in a traffic jam towards Mayfair. How are you doing here?
The usual. A little strange, but nothing I can't handle. Did you get clearance on whether I'm supposed to still even be doing this? He seemed very adamant that he was not interested in this autopsy being carried out.
Let him... Well, no. Keep on doing what you're doing. If you still got stuff to do, then that's great. We're going to try and cut him off, see wherever he's going. It makes no sense not to carry out this autopsy, and he's not answering his phone, so I don't see any reason why not to. You see me being a bit agitated.
I shrug a little and nod. I can see you're agitated, but I don't really bother to think why. If Mr. Khan wants to go off for a little journey, good for him. I don't really have time to care about his well-being. If anything, this entire situation is making me think I really need to catch up on getting that new assignment. I'm getting tired of serving at the level I am at the moment. Much better to start moving up. I've been far too low rank for too long now, and these events over the last few days have certainly made me feel that things around here are starting to get a bit unprofessional.
And in the silence that follows there, I just wait for a few seconds, and then I say, fine, keep going, and let me... Well, keep me posted. We're heading down.
Certainly, and whatever you do, don't do anything too strenuous. I look towards Gabrielle. She really shouldn't still be on duty anyway, but, you know, try and not do any running around or anything like that. Ellis.
I'm fine. Let's go.
She is definitely not fine. You have seen people under the influence several times, both in medical tests of suspects and similar, and this woman is high.
I look a little surprised for a moment as I catch the telltale signs. I wasn't really paying attention, but I am very used to seeing those signs when I need to. I'm a little confused, though. She was literally in my presence 10, 20, 30 minutes ago. Ellis, a moment.
What do you need?
I very quickly go over and just move my finger a few times in front of her eyes.
Fascinating. It's like I can see your cells. And I put my hand up towards your face. A bit too close, even.
I take a few steps back and I frown. Sergeant, you haven't started hitting the drink already, have you, today? Of all times to be doing such a thing.
No. No alcohol.
Oh, damn it. And I, is it my phone?
Yep, it's Paul's phone again.
Yes.
He's moving. Get a move on.
Yes. We're going. Come on.
Get him back. Just make sure he doesn't do anything stupid. Okay?
Yes. I'll let you know as soon as we're on our way.
You may have to be stern with him, okay? I've seen him when he's determined, and it's sometimes not good for him. Do what you have to. Go, all of you. Just get him back.
I'm getting... flashbacks from war. Having to talk people down in tough situations, and it doesn't feel like something I want to do right now, especially with my boss, who's a bit of a hard case if he sets his mind to it. Fine. We're on our way.
A sound of Gabrielle checking her gun, and then she puts it back into her holster and said, let's go. We're going.
And I start moving towards the car park.
The speed of both of them leaving my presence very quickly means I'm not really able to say anything. I simply frown as I regard Ellis. I question if I should report this.
Yeah, is she all right to go alone? Fuck.
I don't really know. Then again, this isn't the first time I've covered for Ellis. I appreciate that she gets results and actually thinks she's a good officer at the end of the day, but this is starting to get too much. But then again, what do I care? I'll probably be getting out of this unit soon anyway. Let her do what she wishes. Not my concern.
The car park is almost empty at this time. Most of the vehicles are out. There's a brown Hyundai parked in a corner next to two surveillance vans. The ramp that leads outside shows the dying of daylight into night.
I move up and I find the car that I would normally use. Do we use our own cars? I'm guessing not. We use...
No, you have undercover cars that you use that are property of the Met. So the Hyundai is one that you have the keys for it. So
obvious choice then. I'm heading up to it and I'm guessing in to drive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as Ellis, you're getting in, I'm Sue.
Yes.
And I start the car and I look at her sort of sideways, just a sideway glance.
Door slams shut and you start slowly driving out.
I'm sitting shotgun, I think. I am watching Paul. Very silently.
I get a bit uncomfortable thinking about what Francis just said. Why would he think you had a drink?
I don't know. Do you think I had a drink?
You're acting a bit weird, Gabrielle.
It's been a weird day.
It's at this point, from my autopsy, I'll have very quickly sent a text to Paul. The text will read, "She's been drinking heavily. Keep an eye on her. Not in her right state of mind."
I'm listening more to Ellis than looking at the text, but I'm looking at it and I sort of catch the essence of it, and I lean over and I smell her.
There is no smell of alcohol whatsoever, just a faint, pungent, like heavy smell, like in a butcher shop. You're on Park Street when the first little bit of traffic hits. You've avoided Edgware. It's completely jammed. Park Street North.
And making some progress.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do anything as I do this?
I watch you, and then I start looking outside the window, and then I start like flexing my fingers into fists, and then stretching them out like I'm feeling things in my body.
And I sigh and I say, "I'm sorry. I know you got your way of doing things, and I know you got your things under control. I don't know why Francis would think something like that."
Think something like what?
Well, that you've been drinking. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Paul?
Honestly, what was in that... What was in that contact lens fluid bottle? You took it, you stormed into the toilet, and come out without it, and now Francis says you've been drinking. Was there alcohol in that thing? You're not smelling like alcohol. I mean, I'm sorry I have to ask, but you are acting very strangely.
Isn't it strange that I just, you know, got better?
Yeah, it's very strange. You should be in the hospital.
You know what? All the pains are gone now. Like, they were never there. Isn't that strange?
Yes. Yes, it is strange. And strange, I mean, that they even let you go back to service. I mean, I didn't... You obviously weren't affected by any drugs this morning. I know I came in a bit late and everything was in a bit of a hurry, so, I mean, nothing from the hospital should have taken... still have an effect on you. I mean, surely you should have... I think to myself that's... If someone is really influenced, then they wouldn't know themselves, even. I'm just not sure what to make out of this situation.
No. Passing the Hyatt Regency on the left side, out on Gloucester Place, text from Anna Ketivara. Take a left, take a left. Take a left towards Brown Street.
And I take a left, quickly.
She's got to be following you through the CCTV cameras or something, giving you indications. London Marriott, Hotel Marble Arch, passes by, and there, in a crossing, you can spy it. The big black Volvo that he always drives.
I see him.
Yeah, his family car, even though he always drives it alone.
I want to do something.
Yeah?
I want to get out and get into the backseat of the car. It's probably not locked.
In your own backseat of the car?
No, his car.
His car, okay. You wanna try to move? It's like four cars ahead. Traffic is moving. Yeah, he's moving at a fast walking speed. Crawling towards a red light further up.
Yeah. Turn to Paul. Drive up as near you can. And I will get into his car.
And I call Anna and I put her on just the loudspeaker in the car so that I can talk while I drive.
Paul, he's either taking a left to go out on Edgware Road to beat the traffic, head north, or he's heading for something in the local area.
Anna, you want us to follow him, not stop him?
I have no idea.
No, let's see where he's going first and then face him when we're in a position where we can actually do something.
Okay, then I won't get into his car then.
No, I could see how it would be normally a good idea, but now I really want to know what he's doing now. If he was going home, that would be one thing, to get consolation for this. I would understand. I'm a family man. And I look at you with an expression of you probably wouldn't understand.
I'm not listening to you. I'm looking at my fingers again, flexing them.
And I continue my monologue, feels like. But now he's going somewhere else. What are you up to?
He drives half a block, then heads right on a back street. Tall brownstone buildings on both sides, the back sides of old warehouses, and then out into a busy little street, right in front of a casino. Grosvenor Casino, the Victoria London. It's a chain of casinos that have five different locations throughout the greater London metropolitan area. And this one seems to be one of the smaller venues. It's lodged between two larger bank buildings. Barclays Bank straight across the A5 on the other side of the road. The Marble Arch Argos right on the side. The entrance is large, glassed, brass. The casino sign slowly starting to light itself automatically now that the lights on the sky are fading and night is here. He parks the car on the right side of the casino entrance and gets out, walking straight for the main entrance.
I frown, thinking to myself that he's obviously not going for a gamble run, but he's probably planning to meet someone. I park my car a bit further down the road, and I look at Gabrielle. Right, let's see who he's meeting.
Yeah. Let's go. I step out of the car and walk towards the casino.
You hear the car lock behind you as I come straight behind.
It's slightly chilly, but no rain. Air slightly moist. Inside, you see Khan's back as he walks just past the reception, just waving off one of the croupier-dressed attendants there. And you're in, right behind him, as he walks up to a stairwell and starts walking up one floor to the right. The halls are marble, the decorations tacky, tasteless, based around red, brown, and brass.
I think I might have been to one of the Grosvenor casinos during my stag do. I have no idea what he wants to do here. Keep the pace behind Ellis, who has now taken the lead.
I just follow him.
He's up the stairs. He's fast. His long legs clearing the stairs, almost at a half run. He opens a door. It barges open into a small hallway, then another door, and he's in. You've lost immediate sight of him as he's entered one of the side rooms. He seems to know exactly where he's going. There's a large sign on the outer door saying renovation in progress, and there's plastic on the carpet.
I just go in after him.
You barge in after him, and the first person you see is not him, but someone else. The room you entered is clearly a large gambling area. It has roulette tables on the floor, all of them covered partially or wholly in plastic, probably to protect them from the dust as the roofs and walls are refurbished. Any kind of wallpaper has been torn down, and the concrete walls are being polished again, probably for repainting or something. Some large decorations standing wrapped up in plastic haphazardly on the sides. The only person apart from Khan in there is a small man. He has a graying hair put up in a pathetic excuse for a ponytail, wearing a pristine white shirt, a vest and a red bow tie, a croupier's uniform. He has a thin nose and bright, clear eyes. He seems to be of Indian descent or something similar. He's backing off quickly. Even like a chair is falling down as Isaac Khan is walking straight towards him, pointing an accusatory finger at him. He seems to be livid with anger. You promised me! You promised me! You promised you'd be kept out of harm's way! I kept your secret! He moves four quick steps, grabs the small man by his collar, and shoves him up against the roulette table, screaming in his face, "Who's the black dog? Who is it?"
Seeing Ellis just burst in through the door, I'm thinking, yeah, there goes all discretion. I'm not gonna... Well, if we are going into a situation where we don't want to be revealed as police because he might be dealing with some sort of undercover contact, what do I know? I'm not going to announce myself as police anyway. I still follow Ellis, however, as she comes in, and I see this, and I stand there by the door and watching as this unfolds.
I'm a bit in front of Paul, I guess, and when he starts... shoving the little man, I draw my gun and I cock it so he would hear it, and I point it at Khan to see if he noticed.
You pull the mantle. The click is loud enough for Khan to freeze and fall silent. And he slowly turns around and meets your gaze. At the same moment as he frowns, you smell it. You smell it. The small man. Oh, how lovely he smells. Meanwhile, in the autopsy room. So, Francis, you stand before a conundrum. The injury seems to be exactly as what you would expect, but the blood type, severely different. Some of the bone structure is more intact than it could be expected. Some wounds are partially coagulated. But mostly a mystery of the blood. So what is the next step?
Well, I've run the tests again. Are they still showing up? Two different blood types?
This time you're using more than just the standard police procedures. I would like you to roll a medical plus intelligence, please.
8, nice.
Mm-hmm. This should be your forte.
2 successes.
2 successes, that's not gonna be quite enough. You might want to put another half an hour and absolute concentrated diligence into this or something. Meaning, do you want to spend willpower?
Yes, I shall spend one willpower to re-roll up to 3 dice.
That is correct.
1 more success.
So, this time, the anomaly is not the same. All of this blood you're testing now is O negative, just like the last sample. But this sample says the blood is old. Its blood cells are clearly visible through the microscope. It has started to partition and coagulate slightly. This blood has been outside of a human body, if it is human blood, for at least 24 hours. This is dead blood.
I see, so the implication is that this other blood type was from another source, but it was in her wounds? The dead blood?
Yes, it seems to be. I realize that this sample you have drawn from close to her, could it be digestive system? She's got dead blood in her stomach.
That's extremely unsettling. She was ingesting dead blood? I have no idea why someone would do that. Well, no, I have a few ideas, of course. I have extensive background in studying criminology and the criminal mind, although it's not quite my expertise. Still, all the equipment, it occurs to me. Goodness me, is this all part of some sick fetish?
And Issa Khan's daughter? She can't be more than 16. And it's your boss's daughter.
It certainly makes me a little uncomfortable, but I'm afraid I do have a job to do, and I am going to have to note this down on the autopsy report. It occurs to me that maybe this is why he was so disconnected. What sort of family history is there? Why was she sent away? Not really my place to judge. I begin getting ready further tests, but I will start writing up that I suspect the individual was ingesting blood. Who knows why?
As Issa Khan turns, things happen fast. Extremely fast. The old man pushes Issa. Maybe he's out of balance. Maybe he's stronger than he looks. But Issa Khan just flies to the side like a glove, shoved into another roulette table, which almost falls over under his weight. His turban rolls off his head, and his long oiled hair comes out as he starts to try to rise fast. The croupier has jumped back behind the roulette table. You have split seconds to act.
I shout out, "You, stop right there!" And I run up towards the old man.
You start running up towards him. He's crouching down behind the roulette table, preparing to meet your charge. Gabriel?
He was smelling wonderful, right?
He smells like supper.
I point the gun at Paul. Paul! Stand back. Very slowly.
And what's he doing? What is he doing? Is he just crouching down? The old man?
He's crouching down, and as you approach him, he starts moving around the roulette table to the side, trying to keep the table between you and him. You hear Isa coughing, all air knocked from his lungs. He tries to speak, he tries to say something, but he can't get it out. The blow has been too hard. He's bleeding from the face.
And from what Ellis says, I am now fully focused on the man. I'm not looking where she is pointing the gun. I am assuming that she is pointing it at him, if anyone. So I say, "We are going to bring this one in."
No, we're not. I start moving towards him, still pointing the gun at Paul.
And I I look at her now, and I see that she's pointing the gun at me. Fuck's sake, Ellis, what are you doing?
Well, hello there. I don't think we'd be properly introduced. I'm Rupert. Rupert Kiran. And who are you, pretty lady?
I'm Gabrielle.
Oh, good. I think we will be able to come to a settlement, don't you?
Yes.
He locks your gaze and whispers, kill them.
Is it a command?
It is a command. And you are completely unprepared for it.
I turn to Khan first.
So you don't even have the mental fortitude or inclination, it seems, to resist.
I shoot Khan.
Squeeze off around. Firearms plus dexterity, please. He's trying to roll away, desperately trying to get out of the line of sight, trying to choke something out. No, fool! Stop! In God's name!
3 successes.
2 rounds go into the roulette table. Khan manages to roll off behind it. Experienced as he is, he puts the roulette table and the machinery of the spinning wheel itself between you and the shot. The third shot goes ping against the brass of the wheel. Grab him! Take him! Take him! Don't let him get away! Khan screams, pointing at Rupert. We need him!
Fuck's sake, Ellis! What are you... I'm pulling my gun, and I look hesitant for a second. Ellis, what the hell are you doing? We're getting this guy. Come to it!
I raise my gun at Paul.
And I shoot.
Bam! Give me a roll.
Firearms dexterity.
Yep.
3.
You got 3. And Paul?
I've got 2.
2. Bullets claw through the casino. The pops, the bangs, reflecting off the stripped concrete walls, making them feel harder, louder. 1, 2, 3 shots, both at you, firing at each other, finding whatever cover you can. A bullet snags your shoulder, Paul. And it's a heavy 9mm gun. So it's a total of 9 aggravated health levels. You take 3 boxes from your health. The moment you fire your gun, it is something moves through you, and when the bullet hits, you realize that you just fucking shot Paul.
Fuck!
Give me a intelligence plus resolve.
2.
You snap out, temporarily realizing exactly what you're doing. The spell is gone.
I dropped the gun. Paul! Paul! Oh my god! And I just forget of everything else and runs towards him to check on him. Paul, I don't know what happened.
I've just been shot, so I'm full of adrenaline, and I see this going on as well, struggling to... I'm backing away as she comes closer, and I see she's dropped her gun, and I say, fuck it, just get him! Get him!
He is walking towards you. Slowly, he's taking off his bow tie. Almost leisurely. Dropping it at the side. Smiling a broad, white smile. He darts a glance at Gabrielle. Thanks. And then he lunges towards Paul. Mouth wide open. Hands like claws. He launches himself at you. Leaving the floor and trying to bang into your body to shove you down to the floor. Give me a brawling plus strength as he tries to crash into you.
2 successes.
2 successes total. He is convinced that you're unprepared. You're not. He lands badly, thinking he was going to smash into you, but instead hitting a chair. He crashes. He turns. You're still on your feet. He's down on your knees. But as he looks up, his face is contorted by a snarl. His eyes locked at your throat. And holy fuck, he's had his teeth done. 4 of the upper canines seem to have been sharpened into a point. Something somewhere between a shark, a monkey, and a cat. He snarls and the sound is distinctly inhuman. Khan is on his feet, his curved Sikh dagger out, the one he always wears, part of his confession of faith. And with blood running from his mouth, he starts intoning something. You don't know the language, but as his voice booms out, somehow you understand. Somehow you know, maybe it was a documentary you saw about the meaning of the prayer, so maybe it just enters your mind. The sky is the salva, the sun and the moon the lamps, the stars their orbs are studded pearls. The fragrance of sandalwood is the incense, the wind of the fan on all vegetation are flowers. Thus your wonderful worship is performed, my God. Oh, the destroyer of fears, this is your true worship with the true lamps. He walks on his knees, getting up closer to Rupert. Rupert is up, screaming, snarling. He's going for it again. Gabriel, what do you do?
I throw myself at him, without thinking. I just want him away from Paul. I'm not picking up my gun or anything, I just lunge at him.
Strength plus brawl.
4.
As you shove him, you feel how fast you are. You realize that you've run through 2 chairs. You're splintered on the way. You're barging down on top of him. You have another plus 2 in the damage you deliver. So that's 4, right?
Yes.
Ooh, unstoppable force meets irresistible object. He, as you bang into him, even though he's partially down, hunched over, as you just manage to shoving up against the wall, but he should have fallen. He should have gotten a concussion or something from that slam. His head goes up against the wall, and then he starts chewing, clawing, trying to get to your neck. Isa's voice rings out. The unstuck melody rings, and the divine music of the Shabbat is like the tender flute. Your eyes are thousands, yet you have no eye. Your forms are thousands, yet you have no form. What do you do, Paul?
I have my gun up. I was in 1 second aiming it point blank as him down on the floor, and the next split second he is pinned up against the wall, and I barely have time to look up in between them. I see Isaac Khan approaching him. I see Gabriel Ellis coming from the side. It seems for a second as if we have the situation under control, so I just aim towards the hostile, or Rupert, as he seems to be called, and I await what my boss is doing. It's something beyond me, but he's still the boss.
He's praying. He's moving forward, and he darts a glance at you and says, tear him up. Tear him apart. Shoot now!
Can I get a clear shot from where Ellis has him?
It's hard. Ellis' shoulders in the way. His face chomping down, trying to bite her.
Ellis, out of the way!
I throw myself away from it when he shouts.
Yeah. You catapult yourself away, and you can almost feel how he moves almost as fast as you do, falling to the ground. But something stops him. And then you realize that it's Isa's voice that stops him. Your feet are thousands, yet you have no feet. You're without nose, yet you have 1,000 noses. Your place have, in this way, bewitched me. The same light pervades all.
I empty my clip at him.
As the gun goes off, the muscle flare. Boom! Second one. Boom! But you realize that the light you see illuminating the scene does not come from your gun. It comes from the air itself. It seeps from Isa's chest out into the air and holds him still. This light causes the light to shine within all. Through the Guru's advice, the divine light becomes visible. And that which pleases him constitutes his real worship. And he's got the dagger out. Roll to it.
Four successes.
He is also immobilized, so grab yourself two more dice and roll them.
That's two more successes. Six.
The bullets, all of them, okay, collected, hit him in the chest. The gun goes empty. Its blood is bursting from his chest. It's almost like it's beaten out of its chest by each bullet. It doesn't flow. It's more like it chokes or vomits outward. Small bursts and then stops. Isa shouts at the top of his lungs, "Now, now, destroy it, destroy it! Get it, get it! Fucking tear it limb from limb, get it!" He himself starts stabbing as fast as he can with a curved knife into the motionless, terrified form of Rupert. Holes appear.
I've seen too much of strange things these last 24 hours with the dog that we shot that tore her up so bad. I look for anything nearby that I can use as a weapon.
Yeah, you see, this cleaning equipment, this gallon flask of what looks like maybe washing fluid or kerosene or, some sort of detergent or whatever. It's big and it's metal and it could be banged over someone's head.
I'll take it and go in and strike him as hard as I can.
Isa is on him, stabbing. Doing a pretty damn good job of it also. He starts cutting at the shoulder, starting to try to cut the arm away. Continuing repeating his prayer from the beginning. The light was... Was it just the trick of the light? Was it there? What the fuck happened?
Is it gone now?
Yeah, the light seems to be faded or gone, or was it just exertion? What the fuck was that? Rupert is slowly starting to raise his head again. Even in the front of the blows and blows after the knife, you have one shot at this. Then it's going to be on you again.
I bring up the heavy sort of tank of whatever it is, of metal, and I swing it at his head as hard as I can, trying to break his neck with it.
You go for it. Strength plus melee.
Do I get any bonus because I have a specialization in batting?
Yes, you do. The specialization means that you get another die.
Okay, double zeros. Wow. And two successes, except from that.
It goes straight into his face. And the bottle breaks before his skull does. The metal bottle crumples over his rock-hard face, bursts, covering him with stinking, some sort of stinking cleaning fluid. It smells of kerosene. Isa gets the Rupert's hand around his throat and just manages to get up. Fire! Fire! And then he bites.
The only thing I can think about is the blood. It's the only thing that I can see. And it feels like I'm moving inside an empty room. And before I can even think of it, I lunge towards the blood that is coming out of Rupert.
And in the distance, you hear me shouting, "Alice, your lighter! Your lighter!"
She's on her fours, licking the floor. Kerosene and blood. Slurping it up. Like a loyal lapdog. While Rupert is crushing the life of Isa Khan.
I throw the empty container, the broken container on the floor, and I dive down to grab into her coat pocket on the side to bring out her lighter.
I want to smack him in the face if he tries to get me away from the blood.
I'm not. I'm just trying to get to your coat pockets and your lighter.
The croupier, the thing, the monster, is holding Isa, is continuously squeezing the life out of him. There is no light. There's no light but what we make. God All the gods are dead, and only we remain. You can hear this almost a cracking, and then you got it. Cold steel. It's the lighter. You got it.
And with my other empty hand, I take the container again, and I bring up the lighter towards the container to set that on fire and then throw it at him.
The remnants of fluid in the container light up, burning your shirt arm and your coat. It's on fire.
Yes, I'm shoving it straight to him.
You can see the reflection of the fire in his eyes. And for the first time in an entire time, you see fear in the creature's eyes. So give us a roll, and let's hope you do not roll very lousy.
I get two successes.
The container goes through the air, and the second, almost before it impacts, Rupert ignites. The kerosene goes booming up towards the ceiling, and the spilled kerosene on the floor just thump, just lights up, threatening to burn Gabrielle as she's licking the fluid as it ignites.
Does he let go of Isaac Khan?
He does.
I go to help Isaac up and then look around for some sort of fire alarm or something so we can push that and get out of here.
Yeah, you shove Isa out of the way. He spins around, catches himself on the side of a roulette table. And you see Rupert's burning form. He himself completely immolated. The smell, the chaos, the fires. It's like that friendly fire incident. The cluster bomb that went wrong. It's like your friend lit on fire, like a torch. He runs and then it bangs into a wall. He runs back, trying to find the door, banging into another wall. Isaac Khan pulls his gun, screaming, "Don't let him get away!"
Away? He's on fire, sir.
Yeah, this is not over!
I pick up a clip and reload my gun.
The fire, I think, snaps me out of the blood craze. I want to reach for my gun and shoot him. But it's weird. It's like diving in and out of clearness for me. I'm like there, and then the blood, and then there, and then the blood, and then there. But
the gun, the clip, it's comfortable. You know it.
Yes.
And it works the way it should.
4.
Isa and you simultaneously bam, 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 start opening fire against his burning form. You're walking closer, almost hurting him with your shots. Bam, 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 bam. It's like now he's got 3 full magazines in his body and is still moving.
I've reloaded and I join them. I join the choir of gunshots.
Pop, 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 pop. From all 3 sides. He's in the corner now. He's got nowhere to run. Pop, pop. And there, his left leg gives out. Kneecap shot to hell. He's down. Fire extinguisher! Fire extinguisher! He screams. We can't lose him!
I look around quickly. Is there one nearby?
There's one at each door. Thank God for security standards.
I holster my gun and I run towards it to pick it up.
I run for the other one.
You got them. White chemical mist starts spraying all over. The fire recedes partially. It's like you're uncovering him from the fire. And behind is just a leering, smiling death's head. The fangs. The eyes. Still wet, still angry, still trying to get up on his feet. What is this? Who is this? What is he? He tries, and as he reaches out to try and grab for you, pull himself across the carpet, his leg gives out. And then his right arm, the one that is almost hacked off, gives out. And he leaves it behind, just with one arm, the other one lying burning still, scrawling across the carpet towards you, sniffing, growling. And then he stops.
Oh my God.
And I hold the fire extinguisher up, sort of about to hit him with the bottom of it. And I stop in the action. I look around. Is anything else on fire still? The walls?
Yeah. There is two of the roulette tables are still on fire behind you.
Shit. I turn around and I start spraying that from the bottom up.
Yeah, fire alarms are blaring. You see two attendants come in through the door. Yeah, they say croupier uniforms. They scream and run back the other way. And Isa is dragging himself across the floor towards the bleeding, charred thing.
Is he on the floor as well?
He's on all fours, trying, slowly getting up, dragging himself towards the... help me up! Help me up!
After having extinguished the tables, I'm looking at Ellis, like, get him up!
I am looking at the body.
And damn it, I go over and I help Isaac up.
He grabs each one of you by one shoulder each. Questions can wait. And to be honest, I do not know.
What do we do, sir?
Interrogate the suspect in the light of God's name.
What?
By the wisdom of the gurus, ask him your questions.
I go over and I see this thing has fallen apart and it's stopped there on the floor. I'm still in a sort of instinct of, should I reach and for my handcuffs and cuff him, or... Do we bring him back, sir?
No. Who is the black dog? Isa begins. Then coughs.
By God and all that's holy. Answer him!
Is the man moving?
First no, and then you see the eyes darting to the signs. His lips are gone. He has... wheezes something.
Roy! Roy!
The eyes lock you. And it's almost as his whisper is half in your mind and half there.
Yes.
I will tell you everything. Save me. Please, save me. His mouth opens wider. No, you can hear him whispering. Even you, Paul, can hear him.
Fair trade. Truth.
His mouth wider.
Bleed into me.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Free Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death.
Isa is starting his prayer as well as at your side.
Is there more blood on the body? On him?
The body is completely dry. He begs you. Blood, please. Please. Please.
But there's no force, no power.
No. Nothing. He's weak. He's almost gone.
Answer us. Who is the black dog?
He's one of us. He's family. But the side of the family you don't want to meet. He's called Rudy. And he would burn London to the ground for his cause. He knows no master. He stole your daughter away from us. From us where she was safe. Blood!
I don't know where he is, but I know where he will strike next. Blood! Blood for truth!
I go down on my knees and go closer, like crawl a bit closer. Blood for
truth.
How do you mean?
Feed me and I will tell you where we strike next, how you can find him.
It's still feels so weird, like we are in a pool of truth and silence, and I look at him, and then I stretch out my arm towards him.
No, wait.
Blood for truth.
Javeria was one of them? One of you? What, like you? What are you?
No. Javeria was like her.
He says, and looks at Alice. She was like you.
Like me. Tell me. I will give you blood if you tell me.
Blood first.
You hear Puri's sirens outside. Not much time.
I look to Isaac.
Isaac takes out his curved knife and hands it to Alice and nods.
I take it and I make a cut in my underarm. A small cut. It's kind of intimidating to cut yourself with a knife, and holds it very, like, unsecure out towards him.
Drip. Drip.
It hurts, but not as much as it should.
Mm.
It's a hot, sliding, slicing feeling as flesh parts and blood spills out. It is absorbed into the charred tissue, into his mouth. The first thing that starts to move is the tongue as it licks and licks. There's a spasm, twist in the body, and the eyes lock onto you. Tomorrow night, a bomb will go off in Croydon. If you find the bomber, you'll find Rudy. You'll find the dead is to your daughter.
Croydon is huge. Where? What time?
It's gonna be hard to miss. They'll try to shut down the CCTV grid first. It's gonna be too late for you, but if you find the bomb maker, if you find the bomber, you have your man. Now do what you will with me, but we had an arrangement.
Right. Let's get out of here.
I still feeds him my blood, and it's the weirdest sensation of, like, it's so gross, but it's so fascinating.
And then,
in the same time,
his lips are suddenly at your arm. He's lunged upwards. Lips attaching themselves to your arm. And you feel a weird, wonderful feeling of lightheadedness passing through your body as he starts sucking. She gasps. Police must be in on their way through the door now. You can hear screaming and shouting downstairs. It's mere seconds away. Isa's eyes go dark. He's told us what we need to know. Get rid of it.
I take the fire extinguisher and I go to smack him away from Ellis.
He's too weak to resist. It's like smacking into a dried, desiccated fashion doll, a thing, not a man. It just rolls away.
And I continue up and I crush his skull, pounding continuously on his head.
Strike. Again. Pounding until it's ash.
And I sweat and I feel power draining out of me. I feel where I just was hit by a fucking bullet from Ellis. I feel the aches from the fight with the dog yesterday. And I realize I don't have much strength in me. We're both, me and Isaac, battered quite severely. And I try to use whatever strength I have to sort of get him up and nod to Ellis. Let's get out of here.
I look at you with big eyes of shock. Like, I can't grasp what happened. He fed on me, I say.
In front of your eyes, the rest of the body, a charred doll, starts collapsing in on itself, leaving only more ashes and blood, like a smeared stain, like the memory of a bonfire. Like the remnants of a witch burning. Nothing says there was a creature here. Nothing.
I heave, and then I just barf all over the floor. And for a long time, it feels like it goes on forever. And when everything is out, I look up at Paul and realizes that I shot him, and that is somehow the worst thing of all. Paul, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened here.
I'm sweating and feeling a bit cold at the same time as adrenaline is still pumping, trying to keep me alive. Ellis, we're leaving. Come on.
Yes, we're leaving. I get up and kind of skills through the ashes and the barf and the blood and takes your arm over my shoulder so I can support you. How is Isaac? Can he stand?
He's on his feet. He's leaning against a roulette table. He's choking blood out of his lungs. A deep, long... long shreds of phlegm. He reaches down for his turban and starts putting his long, oiled black hair back into the pre-made turban. Coughing as the police team barges in through the door, lights shining, their guns out, medics coming in after them. It's all a blur after that. You think Isaac might have lost consciousness there for a while. He's down on his knees, then the policeman is helping him up, and it's flashes, and the stink of burning. There's firemen, there's medics, it's all chaos. As the ambulance starts taking you away, Isaac is beside you. And he just stares at you. He says one thing on the whole way. It started now. The war has started now.
And I feel weak. I feel the medics attending me, working on me. I blink in the light, and I feel more than anything that I just want to be home with my family, and I don't want to be in another war.
The autopsy room is still. It's an hour later. The since you heard from them. On the steel bench, there she is. A mystery.
I'm guessing, as it's only been an hour. Has anyone even informed me of what's going on outside? Or have I just been left to my devices? Probably.
You've been left mostly to devices, forgotten down there in the morgue.
Well, that's nothing new, after all. It's my job at the end of the day. Still, I'm writing out my reports, finishing off final tests. To be honest, I don't know if there's anything more to be concluded. I've drawn my conclusions as best I can. Very strange conclusions, but all I can do is report what I know. Still.
The further tests of blood you've done as the hour has passed, trying to triangulate more precisely what this blood is, where it came from, or what kind of individual it could belong to. There's, as you look at the sheet of printed paper from the laser printer, where all your notes, you stare at it. And the last line, tests conclude that there are 4 different blood types in the deceased's body. The majority AB negative matches with birth records. The other 3 anomalous. It is worth noting that 1 of the 3 alien sources of blood seems to be from an animal, namely a dog.
I grimace a little at this information. Was she drinking the blood of people and animals? I'm curious. Did I get any past medical information? Possibly not, after all, she apparently hasn't existed, or her existence has been hidden. But have I got any family records? I'm curious if she maybe had some sort of condition causing this strange behavior.
Nothing in the information you've been able to clear indicates that she has any sort of genetic and hereditary diseases or anything of the sort. It is truly a mystery.
And yet possibly psychological. Again, not quite my field. Very disturbing. I think back to that dog. Well, I let out a long sigh as I begin my concluding reports. I briefly check my phone as well. I make a note that later on when I go home, I'm going to need to pick up some food for Mother.
You check your phone, and it goes off in your hand.
Dr. Ward speaking.
It's Anna. They're down. They're all down.
But calm down.
Bearsfield Hospital now. Get over there. They're in Ward 6.
All right.
I think Paul is in surgery.
Alright, fine. I think to myself there's no real time to ask questions. I can find out when I get there. Alright, I hang up. I make a quick text home, implying that I will be home late to Mother. And I will immediately get my basic gear with me and start heading to the hospital. I am very concerned. What on earth has happened?
You take your private car there?
Yes.
So what's your car?
Nothing fancy, to be honest. Something of a middling range. Quite sturdy, though.
Yeah, you drive your city Jeep. It's a used one. It's a model from the 90s. Through the cold, dark streets. The traffic is pretty bad.
Ugh, of course it is. I briefly turn on the radio to Classic FM. My default station, calming myself a little as I head.
A soft cell song plays on the radio as you get a response from your mother.
That's all right there. I'm feeding a strange dog that just turned out here. He's really sweet.
I frown a little and send a text back. Mother, you shouldn't be out of the house. Get inside, leave the dog alone. I sigh to myself, always caring for strays, but she shouldn't be doing such a thing. But I don't have time to focus on that. I will focus on getting to the hospital.
When you get there, when you enter their room, when you first lock eyes with Gabrielle, even before you start speaking, you know that everything has changed. Everything.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Our storyteller was Martin Erickson, and we were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder. The music was created by Lola Zaza for the game Vampire Prelude, We Eat Blood and All Our Friends Are Dead, and was used with permission from White Wolf. The sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org. Finally, a big thank you to our patrons. This podcast would not be possible without your generous support on Patreon. You give us so much energy, help us cover our costs, and open up time to record and edit. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. And remember, death is not the end.